And tonight I'm dealing with the virgin birth. It's controversial, not as much right now. It goes in cycles. Every 10 or 20 years, theologians will rise up and begin to question the virgin birth, and we'll talk a little more about that. But it's very plain what he states. Now, some want to go to the Old Testament because it's quoted from Isaiah here that the word virgin means young woman, that Mary had not been with a man. But that's not so. Your Bible's very clear on that. And they tried to change that. They would like to change that, but you can't change the Word of God. Just because you can't explain certain things, you can't write a Bible that fits to what you can explain. You have to take God's Word just as it's written by faith. And the Bible plainly states in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together." Stop right there. Before they came together, that meant that there had been no physical relationship. So he's clarifying the fact they had not come together. But here's the glory of God manifest. She was found with child. What's the next few words? Of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is" what? "Of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name" what? "Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Let me stop right there. When have you ever read in your Bible after this verse, any time, any place, where anybody called Jesus Emmanuel by name? You never read it anywhere else. It's in this verse, but then you don't find it anywhere else in the New Testament. I don't have time to get into that. I'd like to, but I know when I need to stay on focus. But it's an interesting study, trust me. It said, "Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. Again, stressing the fact, she's a virgin. She hasn't known a man. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The virgin birth, to me, is the crowning jewel in the Christian faith concerning the glory of God. The glory of God's manifest the greatest through this one event. And it is an event which people oftentimes want to question and talk about, because the human mind and science has a hard time reconciling what happened. And since they can't reconcile what happened, then it's hard for people to accept this portion of the Word of God. And some people will go so far as to say, "Well, really, you don't have full inspiration in your Bible. Your Bible is only partially inspired. And this is something that's just passed on through legend, through time, and therefore you can believe and still not believe certain portions of the Scripture." So because of that, they choose to say, since we can't explain it, now that's what we're focusing on, we can't explain it, therefore the world says, if you can't explain it to me, then you don't expect me to hear it, believe it, or to expect that that's true. But just because you can't explain it doesn't mean that you can't understand it. Keep that in mind. Tonight I'm doing something off the wall. Forgive me if it doesn't make sense to you, but the more I prayed about this for an understanding of the virgin birth, the more the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart to give you a clear understanding of what happened when Mary conceived and brought forth a child. See, there's several things that we realize when we look at this portion of Scripture. If you challenge the virgin birth in no terms otherwise, plain and simple, baseline, if you challenge the virgin birth, you challenge first the authority of the Bible. Because you're saying God's word's not correct on that. And the problem we have with that, if I can't believe this, then what can I believe? And if that's not true, then what else is not true? And little by little, you destroy the whole doctrine of Christianity. I don't understand why this isn't preached on more, because it is a foundation. It's not a creed. It's the foundation of our salvation that Jesus was born of a virgin, prophesied 750 years beforehand through Isaiah to a wicked king, but yet it was prophesied that there would be a sign. This is the sign coming to pass. God delayed that sign until such a time as this. And then God allowed this virgin to be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and bring forth a child, and his name is Jesus. So you question the authority of the Bible. Number two, you also question the purity of the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember the last message? I talked about the first Adam and the last Adam, not the second Adam, the last Adam. The last Adam is separate from the first Adam, because the first Adam, the end result of his sin, was every one of us are now conceived in sin and transgressions. We're brought forth in iniquity because we have the bloodline of Adam in us. But Jesus, having no earthly father, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, even though that he had a body like us, he had the blood of God flowing through his veins. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. You take the purity of the blood of Jesus out, and we don't have a pure offering that was offered up for us, and therefore we have no basis for our sins to be forgiven. But with Jesus being born of a virgin, and his blood being pure, and he remained pure his entire life, and he died not knowing sin or having committed sin, but took our sin on him and became the eternal sacrifice for each one of us. So you question the purity of the blood. And if you question the authority of the Bible and the purity of the blood, you're left without hope. See, everyone wants forgiveness, but they want it some other way than this way. But truth is truth. This is the only way. I saw a statement the other day, said, Christmas is a time when everybody wants their past forgotten and their present remembered. And it's true. But you can have no forgiveness of sin without this event. Now think with me for just a moment. I'll not keep you long, and I'll not make you think too hard, but there's four or five basic things that I thought about concerning the virgin birth. Number one, it's very plain. The birth of Christ being brought forth from a virgin was the work of the Holy Spirit. She conceived by the Holy Ghost. That's plain. Either you believe it or you don't. If you don't, I can't help you. But if you believe it, you believe the only way this could have happened was that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her in a miraculous way. Again, I can't explain how that happened, because it never happened before and it will never happen again. That's why I call him God. He can do what nobody else can do. And the triune God has now taken on the power through the work of the Holy Spirit, just as the three were present at the beginning of creation when it was all made in the beginning. Now we see the creation coming about where the God has now allowed through the power of the Holy Spirit for his son to be placed inside the womb of a virgin girl. So would you agree with this? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, it is a miracle. That's a miracle. Absolute miracle. The miracle first was inside of her. She knew what was happening inside of her. The Lord confirmed it to Joseph, what was happening inside of her. The Lord confirmed it through an angel to Elizabeth, what was happening inside of her. But the miracle at first, you could not see it, but the miracle was still inside of her. But what was eventually inside of her, the miracle inside of her, was visible for all to see. Sometimes God does the miraculous, that we know the miraculous is there, but yet we haven't seen the physical evidence of it yet, but still through the working power of the Holy Spirit, it's coming to pass. So, number one, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, it was a miracle. Number three, that miracle revealed God. God now has a face. See, God is a spirit. You can't touch a spirit. That's why no man has seen God at any time. You can see God's glory, but you can't see an image of God. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like the wind. John teaches us that in the third chapter of John. It's like, he's like the wind. You can't contain him. You can't hold him. You can't handle him. But Jesus had a body. And Mary held God that day. Not part God, all God. Not part man, all man. You say, how did that happen? It's a miracle. Amazing. She touched the hands. The hand of a baby that was the same hands that formed the dust that Adam was made from. Glory to God. Reveal God. Jesus even went on to say, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can't separate him. He's part of the Trinity, three in one. You can't separate him. He's not less God or more God. The Bible says that he was willing to do this. But he came fashioned like a man. Number four, this birth had eternal consequences. It changed things forever. Because the coming of Christ is what changed the whole plan of where no longer sacrifices would be needed. We now have an eternal sacrifice for our sin. But if Jesus had not come, that wouldn't have been. Number five, it was a result of his will. You do know he didn't have to come. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But what did he do? What did he humble himself? To allow himself to be fashioned as a man. The Father didn't make him do it. He chose to do it. He knew the will of the Heavenly Father. He chose the will of the Heavenly Father. He said, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's get this right. Jesus didn't have to die for us. Had he not died, we'd all be without hope and we'd all be lost forever. But he chose to die for us. It was his will. His will. He submitted himself. He had to submit himself. Why? Because Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If he didn't submit, then he had the power to stop it all. He could have ceased those from taking his life that day. He submitted himself. He submitted his will. Now let me ask you a question. Don't think I'm crazy. I'm getting on point now. How many of you are born again? We're one of the few churches anymore around seem to like that word, but I like that word. I'm born again. Saved. If you're saved, you've been born again. If you're not born again, you're not saved. You must be born again. How'd that happen? How'd that happen? Well, number one, if you're born again, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. What was the virgin birth? The work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, if you're born again, it took a miracle for you to be born again. You don't think it's a miracle. It's just because you haven't reached out by faith. But I'm here to tell you, people say all the time, days of miracle are over. No, it's not. Someone said, show me a miracle. I'm a miracle. If you're saved, you're a miracle. And by the way, that miracle occurred first on the inside. When I believe with my heart, Christ came in me, dwelled in me, and he now abides with us. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But I'll say this, what's on the inside eventually comes out for the whole world to see. If you've really been born again, it will show to everyone around you. Hey, if you've been born again, it was the work of the Spirit. If you've been born again, it took a miracle. If you've been born again, it revealed God. Some of you didn't have any God on you, in you, or around you before you got born again. But when you got born again, the first thing people started saying, what's the matter with that person? They're not the person I used to know. They don't like things they used to like. They're all the time talking about heaven and talking about being saved and talking about being forgiven. When they sit down, everything they do tells me about the Lord. I'm telling you, we show God to the world and we reveal God to the world because of a born again experience. Well, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. You're born not of flesh but of spirit. It's a miracle. It reveals God. By the way, if you're born again, it has eternal consequences. My destiny changed. My forever changed when I got born again. Heaven is forever, folks. And if you're on your way to heaven and you're born again and your sins are forgiven and you know that, you've got a new hope, a new place to go to. Thank God we're not going to hell. Thank God we're not destined to the lake of fire. Why? Because we've been born again. And by the way, if you're born again, it was a result of your will. I don't care what anybody tells you, God doesn't make anybody get saved. It is a choice. You are not already predisposed to hell for all eternity or heaven for all eternity. It's not that God mapped out this plan and makes you do what you don't want to do. He had the plan for Jesus, but Jesus submitted his will. He has a plan for our life, but that plan only comes into action when we submit our will to him and say, I'm tired of going my way and living my life. I want what you want, so I give my all to you. I come to you and I submit my will to you. Now, how many of you have been born again? Good. Can't explain it, can you? But you understand it. I can't explain it, but I understand it. Why? Because it happened to me. It happened to you. You understand it. Sometimes it's hard to tell somebody else what happened when it happened. Well, isn't that something? The same thing that happened to see Jesus born of a virgin are the same five things that happened to see us born again. It's about birth. Why birth? You say, well, preacher, how can you parallel that? because it takes no more miracle power of God for a virgin to conceive than to change some of us ornery rascals that's in here tonight. Took no more of God's power. Glory to God. If God can save us, and if God can forgive us, and if God can change us, why do we have such a hard time believing a virgin conceived and brought forth a son? It's all about birth. When Jesus was born, he came first. By the way, when you get born again, listen to this. Not part of your sins, not three of your sins, not 10 of your sins, not 100 of your sins. All of your sins are forgiven. And if you go to 1 John, you'll find out that he that is born of God sinneth not. What's he talking about? We used to be strapped by sin, but Jesus took the sin away. A baby, it has all future, no past. That's how we are when we get born again. We've got a future. Our past is gone. We might, unlike Jesus, we might make bad choices, stumble and fail, and need forgiveness. But we can understand it. I can't take you to a laboratory and prove to you how it happened to a virgin and how miraculous this was. But I know one thing. There's a miracle in me. And the only way I can tell you, the best I can tell you, is he doesn't love me any more than he loves you. And it doesn't matter where you've come from or what you've done. There is power in Jesus Christ. As the Holy Spirit does his work tonight, and the Holy Spirit reveals to you, you need forgiveness of your sin. You need hope. You need your life changed. Just as he does that, you can experience a new birth. Can I offer you the greatest Christmas gift of all? His name is Jesus. And the gift he holds in his hand is everlasting life.